Welcome to TJ Flyways Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buffenbarger.
Hey Beth, we're once again live here in the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Of course, all of our guests tonight appearing on the Rocket Headers Hotline. Later on in the program, we're going to have DeCoin Silver Crown winner Chris Urish in the on the phone, and we're going to talk about his big win at DeCoin on Sunday. And then also we're going to have some sound bites from the Sprints on Dirt event over at the Crystal Motor Speedway. But joining us on the line is a gentleman that just we had on in July, and we usually try to space our guests out a little bit, but when you win three features in 1 week, it's a good way to get back on the show. And Zach Dom lived up to his nickname, the Dominator, over the weekend, and Zach joins us on the hotline right now. And first off, that is quite a way to, you know, as the season winds down, to carry some momentum through the end of the year. Congratulations on a tremendous weekend.
Well, thank you. That's, you know, like you said, it's a good way to start ending the year out. We've still got about, you know, eight or ten something Power Ride races left to go for the championship on that, and before we head out west and run the canyon races and Turkey Night and all that. So, you know, that's just, you know, trying to just stay hot, and, you know, we can kind of maybe get some things going for Australia and Chili Bowl. Keep going good then.
And let's kind of rewind the clock a little bit here. Back to Wednesday. You went to the Wayne County Speedway, the Illinois version, for the Jason Loeffler Memorial. First off, had you ever raced there before or ever seen that place?
Yeah, actually, it's only about an hour and 20 minutes from my house, so I've ran a micro there twice in my life, which was the first time we was there. We won an only micro race there 4 or 5 years ago, and then I raced a buddy's car there this year, and we ran third. So, you know, I've raced there before, which the track was nothing like it was for the midgets. Every time I've been there, it's kind of always a little hole in the wall, kind of a dump. Just run around the bottom, infield tires, let everybody slide up off the bottom and take their spot type of deal. And, you know, for the midget race, it was nothing like that. It was excellent. The facility was awesome. The track was awesome. I mean, it was just a great midget track for what it was.
And it was kind of small. When I was looking at, like, on Google Earth and stuff, I thought, holy cow, this is a tiny little place. It was a, is it about Chili Bowl size, or is it maybe a little smaller, a little bigger?
It's a little bit smaller. We ended up running the same gears what we would run at Chili Bowl, but just because you had so much wheel speed there compared to Chili Bowl, it wasn't a bad racetrack. I mean, it was, you know, some of people might have been to DuCoin, Illinois for the indoor races there, and it's a little bit bigger than, it's kind of in between DuCoin and Chili Bowl. DuCoin's really, really hard to pass, and, you know, Chili Bowl you can kind of race, and it was, you could race at Wayne City a lot better than you can at Chili, or at DuCoin.
And, of course, being the Jason Loeffler Memorial, what did it mean to you to be able to win the first one there?
That's what they kept asking me on Wednesday, and I really didn't know how to put it into words yet. You know, it means a lot for me to win that race, especially being the first one. I mean, Loeffler's a great person, a great dad, most of all. I mean, he's a great racer. You know, he could have started and parked in NASCAR, made more money than all of us, but, you know, he said screw that and went dirt racing. You know, that's where his heart is. That's what he loves to do. I mean, that just shows you what the true racer in that he was. I mean, he was a badass. I mean, he won three straight USAC midget titles. I mean, he's won he's won everything there was to win. I mean, he's a great person. You know, that's a great way to honor him. You know, that's you know, Doug Stringer and everybody, and Great Clips and everybody that came on board to have such a great race. I mean, they had people flying in on parachutes, and they had fireworks, and just a great way to honor such a great person.
It's a neat deal. I think that's an appropriate way. It's not just a race. It was an entire show for him in his honor, and that sounds like an awesome deal. And you went right from that to one of the biggest races up at Angel Park all year, the Pepsi Nationals. And let's go back to Friday night. You had to race one of your nemesis, Andrew Felker, again for the win, and you guys had a heck of a race to decide that one as well.
Yeah, we did. That was a lot of fun. We started fifth, and him and Hagen kind of just got out front and were cruising, and we were just right there, just kind of biding our time. And we got to him. I was able to move around a little bit on the racetrack. I found the bottom, was really working in three and four, and got to Hagen and kind of showed him showed him the line, and he come down and tried to block. He tried to take my line, and he ended up breaking under a red flag. And so we got to Hagen, we was all just standing around there talking, and he said he was going to stay on the top, and I said, that's fine, I'm going to the bottom. And, that was right past the halfway point, I think it was lap 15, and, we raced side by side until lap 21. I mean, we were side by side the entire way around the racetrack. Neither one of us hit each other, neither one of us had to worry about the other one crashing each other. It was probably one of the most fun races I've ran in quite a while. I mean, it's fun when you can run like that and you ain't got to worry about nobody. You don't have to worry about nobody tearing your stuff up.
And you and Felker, that's becoming a little bit of a rivalry. But you guys run each other hard and clean. But I mean, it seems to be one of the rivalries developing in this Power Ice series.
Yeah, I mean, at least it's a friendly rivalry, not a hate each other, run a crasher type of rivalry. I mean, I consider him a good friend, and his families are great. Crew Chief Dwayne Moore, he's a great guy. I mean, we all have a blast. I mean, it's part of what's fun to run with the Power Ride deal. It's a lot of families, a lot of family deals, just like our program is. So, not a whole lot of super teams, especially except when Keith Coon shows up and kicks all our butts. But he does that anyways, and anywhere he shows up nowadays. But the Felker deal, I mean, it's fun to race with them. They're fast, and they've really stepped their game up the last couple of years.
And then on Saturday, longer distance race, and the cast of characters changed a little bit. You had Brad Kuhn to contend with, but you also had IRA sprint car driver Bill Balog, who was in the mix for Saturday with the longer distance race. Read in the race report, you credited a lot of your Silver Crown and long race experience in helping you with that race. How does that equate to a longer race in a midget like that?
I mean, it's just, when you do 50 laps, it's still long. I mean, it's a long race. It's not 100 miles like a Silver Crown race is, but you still just have to pace yourself. You know that you can't win it in the first 30 laps. You can't win in the first 40 laps sometimes. I had no idea how big of a lead I had. We took the lead over lap 34, and then I kept trying to watch the billboard, and I knew Balog and Parker Price Miller slid me on a restart once, and I wasn't expecting that, so... that made me get up on the wheel and get going again, and kept looking up the billboard and seeing Kuhn was into second, and I just thought, oh crap, this is one of the races he had never won yet, and you knew he was going to be trying hard, he wasn't going to crash us or nothing like that for it, but I knew he'd be driving hard, and they said we had a big lead right at the end of the race, but I just kept trying to go as hard as I could, not jump the cushion, because the cushion was gnarly, it was nasty, hard to run, smooth, and, Bill Balog, he's a great dirt track racer. I mean, he's won 15 wing sprint car races this year and another IRA title, so, even in a midget, he's hard to beat just with the pure dirt experience he has, so, he's adapted to the midget very well, so. It was, a lot of fun to race with both of them guys. I mean, they're, great competitors, and, Brad King's probably got more laps at some point than everybody in the field combined on Sunday night.
And now that you have that, what did it mean to not only win the finale, but to sweep that weekend at Angel Park?
Yeah, that means a lot. Before this year at Angel Park, we would run up there three or four times a year. It's just so far to go on a Sunday night for us. So, we'd go up there every once in a while. And, towards last year, the last couple of USAC races there, we ran fifth both races. And, I felt good about that. I'm like, we've been running better there. And we go up there this year, and the first couple of nights, we was pretty good. And then we ended up getting one win there in June. And, that was kind of like a weight had been lifted off your shoulders. You'd finally won at Sun Prairie. And that was, there's not too many people that have just showed up and been immediately fast there. It's a hard place to learn at. And now to win three of them this year at that place, plus the, one being the Pepsi Nationals and sweeping that weekend, it's unreal. I don't really know how to put it into words yet. It's, unreal, awesome, ecstatic. It means a lot to be able to do something like that. I don't know if anybody's ever swept that weekend before. I have no idea, but you know, to be able to do it, it's great.
And now, looking at your statistics, you've won four of your last eight races. What is it you guys have hit on the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks or so that's really picked up the program?
I don't know. I mean, I've been doing the same. We've been doing the same basic stuff to the car that we've done all year. I mean, I've kind of hit on a little bit of stuff, tightening the car up a little bit, but, you know, nothing that I would have really figured would have meant this much, but, you know, we've been close all year too, so maybe it's just that was just a little bit extra needed to push us over the edge to be able to get the win in the races. And you know, that's I guess that's what it's got to be. I really don't know because I haven't been doing anything different.
Zach Dom joining us on the line. One thing I didn't talk about on our first visit was you guys run an Eagle chassis car, which is a little different than what other people are doing. When you kind of venture off, you do something a little bit different like that, it does give you an advantage to where if you can hit on something, no one else has it. But how hard is it to blaze a trail like that with a race car that maybe isn't being as used as much as what other people are using?
I mean, that's... people, you know, that's all I've ever ran. That's all I've ever known. We built a spike car. I ran it for four races, and I absolutely hated it. I took it apart and shipped the thing off to California. I mean, we had a beast car, and it was okay for me. Certain racetracks, we really got it to go well, but, you know, other places just didn't like it. And the Eagle car's been everything I've ever known. It's always been too tight. You know, if I weren't to really be able to drive a really, really tight race car, and that's what I like, you know, and in those cars, you can just tighten them up, and that fits my style. It's not going to fit Darren Hagen's style, or, you know, there's just people that don't like that tight of a race car because they flip over, whatever. I mean, it's different than what everybody else runs, but it's what I've been accustomed to, and it's what I've been learning for a long time. So I just try to keep running that, and you know, hopefully it is the best kept secret in motorsports, and we're the only ones that have it.
Zach Dom joining us, and now you're pretty solidly atop the PowerEye points. Are you still going to be kind of? Do you look at the points much at this point? I mean, you've got a pretty good lead, or is it pretty much now you're setting sail to win a whole bunch more races?
I just want to go win more races. I mean, that's, you know, we've kind of looked at it the same way all year, was what we had a job to do, and that was to win a championship. But, you know, a couple nights here we had to run second. Not run second, but that's what we were given. Little Belleville and Macon with Christopher Bell the other night. We traded a couple slide jobs, and we got into lap traffic, and I just... at that point, I just kind of rode second because I knew that if I would try something, you very well end up in the fence and you scored 19th instead of second. You know, just try not to take the dumb chance. You know, you just get what you got. I mean, you can't take any stupid chances. As long as you're ahead of whoever's in second points, you're still going to gain points on them. You know, you just hopefully you don't have a bad night, and we stay up on our maintenance program. That way we don't fall out of races, and you know, just keep doing what we've been doing and try to be smart about it. That's mainly what we set out to be. That's what we set out to do this year.
And not looking too far ahead on the calendar, but there is a carrot out there in a few weeks in the Gold Crown Nationals, kind of in your backyard, huge midget race. And with the role you're on right now, you're going to have to take on those super teams that you mentioned, but you have to feel pretty confident going in there, I would think.
Yeah, the Gold Crown's one race I've had circled on my calendar all year. You know, my dad used to race late models with Kevin Gundaker, the promoter down there. I grew up racing with his son, Gordy, and quarter midgets. And, I mean, I've went late model racing with Gordy there this year, and worked a great late model for a guy, and he's leading a UMP National Points Championship and leading points at Granite City. And I've been there five or six times this year, and we haven't lost. We won every race there, so hopefully we can continue to do that with the midget deal there. We came second there in the Power I race. Earlier we were leading and the left front shock cone broke off, and I got too loose, and Terry Babb got us there at the end of the race. But, you know, I think I've learned some things through the year or through the second half of this year that's going to help us for the gold crown, because, you know, we've been there for the last couple of years and we always get the same exact racetrack. You know what it's going to be, so we just have to fine-tune on that. And we've been fast. We've ran third and we've ran fifth. And, you know, it's just trying to put together a full night there. You know, 50 laps is a long time for the finale. And, you know, it's a great paycheck, great race. It's another one of those events that, you know, it's not just a race, it's an event. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, we've won a couple of these events, so I'm hoping we can pull off another one.
You know, and we've already had John twice, so if you win that, we'll probably go for the hat trick at that point. So, well, Zach, I'm sure you have some people to thank, too, that made this weekend possible. What a special week it was.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, Toyota, Gary Reed, and, you know, Stanton's, and Eric and Gary down there at Stanton Motors. I mean, they've built a, you know, they've got a great engine package, and Toyota for standing behind me. They've, you know, after my year last year, I'd have never thought anybody would have wanted to come on board like they did and help us out. And, I mean, they did. I mean, and they've came on huge, and, you know, hopefully it's paying off dividends for them. Actually, I had a guy stop and tell me he was going to buy a Toyota truck because he's seen us run at Sun Prairie. So, I mean, I guess that's what it's all about, you know, selling their vehicles. So, you know, BMI Race Products, Penske Shocks, you know, Domcroft Insurance, Wix Aircraft, Weld Wheels. I mean, without those guys supporting us and, you know, getting us the deals that we can to get to the racetrack, it wouldn't be possible. You know, racing's a team sport. It takes everybody there to just get to the racetrack, yet alone to be able to win.
And winning is something you're definitely doing right now. And Zach, congratulations on everything this week. And man, hopefully we get to pull that hat trick off, and you can get a gold crown victory.
You know, that would that'd be great. You know, I don't mind talking on the phone. So, you know, it'd be great to pick up the hat trick there, and you know, hopefully win us one.
All righty, Zach Dahm joining us. Thank you for taking time out for us, Zach.
Well, thank you guys for having me on.
All right, so Zach Dahm joining us again after a great weekend. And, man, this guy is on a roll. I mean, four of his last eight midget races, and what a time to catch fire. Because, like I said, you have the gold crown, and that's kind of the gateway into going out west. You got the canyon races. Those are coming up. And then Turkey Night. And you see Koons' super team. He, you know, I mean, it's Keith Koons. He's winning a lot of races. They just went out and they won with Kyle Larson this week. But this is a kid that could possibly, with his family-owned team, take down the big USAC teams at that Gold Crown Nationals. So we're going to take our first break of the evening, but race fans, don't forget, All-Star Performance is looking for images for their open wheel parts catalog for the 2014 season. Email Jay Berglund at allstarperformance.com with any of your sprint car, midget, quarter midget stuff, of course sporting some All-Star gear, and then you could appear possibly in the 2014 calendar. Of course, visit them on the web at allstarperformance.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Chris Urish, SilverCon winner at Decline, will be coming up. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live on racesontheweb.com.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at engineproparts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing of racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air. As Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth, watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rock it around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Core Pack Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at enginepro.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Welcome back to TJ Slideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. And my next guest is one of the best stories of the year. I say that so often because this is the kind of story we like talking about on here. And Chris Urish, congratulations on your first USAC Silver Crown win Sunday night at DeCoin.
I tell you what, it's just amazing. I don't even know if it's real yet. I'll be real honest. I'm over here at my biggest sponsor's house, and there's a swim pool, and we just had a little get together this evening, and just to bring it all into perspective. I mean, it's breathtaking. It's a win, but wasn't the prettiest win in the world. But that Silver Crown racing.
You know, when they print the t-shirts up, though, it's still going to have your name on it, and it's not going to have much else about it. So I thought it was pretty awesome. Let's kind of go back here for a little bit. When I first crossed paths with you, you're pretty much a sprint car guy, wing, non-wing. You hadn't really gotten to the Silver Crown stuff yet. When did you get into Silver Crown racing, and what drew you to do that?
Well, I'll be real honest. I was helping Chad Anderson and Scott Fernandes that work for Hoosier Tire Midwest for Justin Allgaier's dad, and they decided to buy a Silver Crown car. And, you know, we went racing. It was, you know, it was an old car, but it was a good car. And we went out and got some laps with that deal, and it worked out well for a couple years. And then we decided to move on past that, and that deal sold, and we bought our own car from the 9 team, which at that point in time was Bobby East and those guys. And, I mean, I think everybody knows that story. And they were pretty good. And we bought a quality car, and Galen Fox with Foxco Motors. I mean, I just can't say enough about them. I've been with them for years before that and till now. And, I mean, they just put a quality piece underneath the hood every night out. And so we ended up there, and race until today, till we got one. But I mean, I'll be real honest. I mean, this deal, Silver Crown, it's the best of the best, and it's good people. And by no means did the fastest car win last night, but it was the car that finished 100 miles first.
And let's talk about that. It rained early in the day, and you guys probably got the heaviest decline track possibly in the past 20 or 30 years, from what I understand.
Yeah, I mean, that thing was great. You know, it rained a little bit early, and everybody was a little timid, but they ran some tractors out there, and I'll give Bob Sargent a little credit. That guy, no matter what, he just puts it into shape. And I've never raced on a racetrack that Bob Sargent and Tract Enterprises has put together that wasn't anything but flawless. I mean, and that's the truth. And it's just it's an honor to race on tracks that he puts together, and I'm glad he's a supporter of the USAC Silver Crown Series. And we went out and ran on a track that got a little rain on, and turned into a beautiful racetrack. I mean, we're talking one from the ages. I follow the history of this deal quite a bit because it means a lot to me. And honestly, at the end of the day, I mean, that was that Robert Blue was the fastest car, and that was a around the cushion, and we don't get a cushion in Silver Crown racing very often.
That's for sure. I mean, primarily, like a lot of fairground tracks, a lot of horse tracks. I mean, you get a wide groove, but, I mean, it looked like the thing had a flat-out curb on it. It looked like something you'd see on a quarter-mile racetrack.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, and, I mean, it was awesome. It was right up against the fence, right in the apex of the corner, and it was a great racetrack. And, you know, I'm very pleased to race against the people we get to race against in this, and very honored to win against the guys that we won against. And it was probably a race of circumstance, and there's a little controversy going on I've seen about the internet about this deal. But all in all, I mean, we finished 100 miles before anybody else did, and by no means do I think we were the fastest car, but at the end of the day, we were there.
So let's talk about this. The laps are winding down, and you're sitting in third place. What's going through your mind all of a sudden as you see these guys running out of fuel and falling out, and you're in the lead of this deal?
Well, I'll be real honest. My spotter, he kept telling me, he pushed me all night long, and Don Walner, he spots for me, and I mean, I couldn't ask for a better best friend / mechanic, and he kept pushing me the whole time just to stay up front and just stay on the lead lap and just stay in the picture, you know what I mean? And he pushed me and pushed me and pushed me even to the end, and honestly, when we came down with five to go, that he said Wyndham was running out of fuel, and I didn't believe it, and I just kept pushing it and pushing it. Wyndham ran out of fuel, and I mean, we won the deal on circumstance. There's no doubt about it, but that's Silver Crown racing. I mean, honest to God, we ran out of fuel a couple of times at DeCoin, and we were no good. I mean, we were a 16th place car when we ran out of fuel at those point in time. So, I mean, that's part of the strategy, and honestly, when it's all said and done, Silver Crown racing is a different beast. I mean, we've all got used to sprint car racing where you run as hard as you can, as long as you can, and Robert Blue is one of the best at that, and I will never take anything away from him, and I think I did a fabulous job, and you know, obviously his motor didn't get as much fuel mileage as what we did, and I wouldn't run it as hard as what he did, honestly. But at the end of the day, Rob Ballew was probably the fastest car, but he only made 80-some laps, and we made 100.
And that's part of the deal. A lot of guys with sprint cars, they, you know, it's a longer race. It's 100 miles. How much fuel did you actually have left at the end?
It was close. It was very close. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you, but, you know, Galen Fox builds our engine, and Brad and Steve Fox there with Galen. I mean, they're fabulous people. We've been in this field so long, I mean, you can't probably count the years, and, I mean, you couldn't ask for better people, and you couldn't ask for better running engines, but the deal about it is you got to finish a race to win one, and, you know, we did that, and we couldn't do it without Galen. I mean, 100%. He built my sprint car motors, he built my Silver Crown motors, and, you know, just that family alone, Brad and Steve and, you know, Galen, they're just the best people in the world, and I couldn't do it without them, and I probably there's not enough thanks in the world for them.
Were you on the ethanol or the methanol?
No, we're on methanol. You know, we ran the ethanol deal last year, and we struggled at Indy and maybe tore one up, and then Galen put us a good one together, and honest to God, at Springfield, you know, after he, you know, that guy can figure out anything, and then he's a legend. He's a legend for a reason. And he put that motor together for us for Springfield last year, and we ran excellent. And I'll be real honest, you know, I probably the ethanol thing is probably the way to go if you guys got that deal figured out. But, you know, it's just such a cooler running engine for a 100-mile race, and we decided to go back to the methanol, and Galen put us one together, and they're just there's no replacing him. Galen Fox is a legend for a reason.
And Jim here in Grand Rapids wants to know, are we going to see you at the Four Crown?
Yeah, we'll be there. You know, I'm not a half-mile racer by any means. You know, we run a lot of sprint car stuff on short track stuff, and we run the miles, and we love the miles. And we'll go there. We're going to do good. But, you know, Robert Ballew, Bobby East, all those guys, they'll be tough at the Four Crown, and that's fine. But we're going to be there, and we're going to try to put ourselves in contention for that deal. And at the end of the day, you know, we just won the Ted Horn 100. I mean, that's hard to beat. It's still unbelievable at this point.
And not only to win that, but to win one of the mile races in Illinois, I'm sure you probably had plenty of family and friends there. How much did that add to everything?
I don't think that's even explainable. I mean, I'll be real honest with you. I've watched a lot of mile races growing up as a kid, you know, at these two races between Springfield and Coyne. And, you know, I mean, it's just, even more than that, my guy, Don Wallner, Tim Blady, Steve Burris, my father, you know, those guys have been at these races for years and years and years and watched them. And even running the top five is an accomplishment. And, you know, to slip through one of these deals and win it, it's pretty unbelievable, and what it meant to my fellas is unbelievable.
All right, Chris Ursh joining us here on the line, and you got some sprint car racing left to do too. Where are fans going to be able to see you racing your sprint car the rest of the year?
Yeah, you know, people need to check out the MOWA, M-O-W-A, MOWA, which is Midwest Open Wheel Association deal. You know, we're just a little small group that started here in Illinois, and we're very competitive. We had some big names come in and race with us and do real well, and we're gonna pick back up. I think we got two nights here left in Burlington, then we got one night at Jacksonville, Illinois, and then turn around at Canton, Illinois, and then Danville, Illinois. Some great weekends left. I mean, that group is like a family to me. I couldn't do it without them. I just can't say enough about the MOWA group as far as a sprint car group. You know, we're a part-time Silver Crown racer. We're a full-time sprint car racer, and MOWA's our group. So, you know, we got to give them props. Paul Niehiser won last night in that deal. He's a young kid, up-and-comer. You'll hear a lot about him. I mean, that kid's great. And I'm just a pleasure to be part of that organization.
And that's one thing I meant to ask you. You led into it perfectly. That group has a lot of momentum going for it, and it seems like it had the momentum right from the start. What's making that group work, do you feel, as a driver, owner, you know, small, you know, essentially family operation? What makes that MOWA series tick?
You know, a lot of things. You know, it's a lot of low budget people that run on a big time scale. I mean, we run against a bunch of great guys and that run for a full time and run for a living, and we got those travelers that come in and hit and miss with us. But I'll be real honest, this Central Illinois group that has been together for quite a few years, but even before, you know, the Kenny Dobson and people put together MOA, was a strong group and competitive group of people that, you know, could, I feel like, you know, run against anybody. And, you know, I'm not saying we're posse-ish, you know, and could run against the posse or anything like that. But at the same point in time, you know, I feel like, you know, we're a group that on our own tracks can, you know, hold our own and feel like we're meant to be dealt with. And, you know, the MOA organization is a bunch of great people that has a family operation behind it that at the end of the day, everybody's out for the same outcome. You know, nobody's trying to make money. Nobody's trying to do anything. We're racing for the good of the racer. And they've done a great job at that.
How much has that series raised the profile for Illinois Sprint Car Racing, do you feel?
It's unbelievable. I mean, I'll be real honest. Jacksonville, Illinois has always had a pretty strong core group of sprint cars that ran. But, you know, we get a hit or miss show 3 to 5 times a year, you know, here and there. But when it comes right down to it, the MOA thing just took it to another level. And Jeremy Standridge, Joey Mohan, those guys that came up with that idea, Kenny Dobson, they brought it up a level. And, I think we're something to be reckoned with. I mean, I have a lot of respect for the IRA and Steve Sinclair and those guys. And we ran against them last week, and I think we held our own. I mean, their guy won it, but I think Billy Balog is a force to be reckoned with without a doubt. And at the same point in time, I thought our guys held their own and did well. And, you know, I'd like to see more shows like that, you know, series versus series. The IRA has a beautiful schedule. And, you know, the MOA, we're right behind them. We're just getting started and a lot of momentum behind them.
And it's no shame to lose to him because the IRA guys lose to him about every other week. So it's not a
absolutely. You know, Bill Balog is great, but you know, Scotty Neitzel. How about, you know, that guy? I mean, I've looked up to Scotty Neitzel. You know, when I was a kid and I ran micros, I would help the tire guys and I would help them at the Coin and Springfield stuff on the Crown races. But I'd also go up and do some IRA races. And you know, Scotty Neitzel was he was a hero of mine when I was a kid. You know, and last weekend I stood there and talked to him for a second, and, you know, that means a lot. His perspective on this sport is huge to me, and I think probably huge to the industry. And at the same point in time, you know, that guy goes out and runs as hard as he can every night, and they put a good program together, and then Bill Balog comes in and does what he does. So I don't know him personally as well as I do Scotty, but you know, probably log hats off to him. And same with Scotty Neitzel. I mean, Scotty Neitzel probably had the deal won if it wasn't for a yellow or two last week.
Yeah, and that was quite a program over there at LaSalle. That's already on our hit list for next year, possibly one of our shows we'll go cover, because I saw that and saw the highlights and the car count, and I said, that might be one we have to go hit up next year.
Well, you know, for sure. I mean, I think we're getting a little more momentum, and the IRA is just, I mean, that's something that people don't realize is out there. That is, I mean, that's quality sprint car racing every night in and out. And I think MOA, which is what we call the Midwest Sprint Car Series, you know, is the same program in night in and night out. I mean, just flawless sprint car racing. I mean, you look at Paul Niehiser last night. That was a 16-year-old kid to win one on the cushion, from what it sounds like, and he did what he did. And the night before, me and him banged wheels a little bit, and that's part of racing. And he's just a great kid, and he's got a lot of talent in front of him, and I hope to see him succeed.
Well, Chris, I'm sure you also have some people to thank that made this happen. And you know, you might not want to get them all because you might forget one, but I'm sure you have a few you definitely want to mention.
Absolutely. I'll probably take a little bit more of your time probably than you want me to, but, you know, first off, my father, Steve Irish, Elkhart Fertilizer. I mean, that's, I was trying to count it up last night. That's 25 years to 26 years that I've ran a race car every single summer. And, you know, he's footed the bill for that deal for the most part and put me in that deal. And I can't say enough about my dad. Number two is Rod Irish, his brother. That's who got us involved in racing. And, you know, he's my mentor. and a great friend, and I couldn't do it without him and his family also, and they're out in Kansas. As far as sponsor-wise goes, Scott Falken, Advanced Glass, I mean, this guy, I'm at his house right now. They're throwing a party for us because we want to race. I mean, you can't imagine the type of support that him and his family, Kay and Logan and everybody gives us. Just unbelievable. Pace Setter Solutions, John Walner, does a lot of torsion bar testing. He spots for me there every week in the shop. I mean, that guy is just, you can't hand it out. Pat Dibbs, he works for my family business, for my aunt, and doesn't miss a race. He's always there, and he might be my head of PR. He likes social media. We got Tim O'Leary. Tim drives our truck back and forth for us. He's been around racing a long time. I think he told me the other night that he hasn't missed a race, at Springfield for like 40 or 50 years. So, I mean, we're talking a lot of history there. That's what was probably the most special thing, is to win some for these guys that have been there and sat in the grandstand and watched it for years and years and then got to experience it. So, all in all, Justin Kinnauer, a young kid that helps me out. Can't say enough about him. Simpson Race Products, Hooter Tire. I mean, these are people that have always been behind me, and at the end of the day, we won a big race for them. So I don't know if I could be more pleased than what I am right now.
Well, that wasn't too bad. We didn't have to break out the award show music or anything for you, so that's not too bad.
Well, I try to get everybody in, and I'm sure I missed somebody in there here and there. I got DuPont Crop Protection and some people like that that helped me out pretty big, and we couldn't do it without them. But and also people like you. I'll be real honest with you. It's an honor to be on your show, because I've thought a lot about it in the years, and we spoke a little bit before the show about our mutual friend Aaron, and I'll be real honest. It's all said and done. When you get somebody to send you a message and wants you to be on their podcast, that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure your phone kind of blew up after this thing, too, just a little bit.
You know, it did, but welcome to social media and smartphones. I mean, take this 10 years ago. Like I said, it's unreal. And the support that for my family and friends. I mean, I'll be real honest. This deal wouldn't happen without them. Everybody puts up with my missing birthdays and weddings and parties. My wife was at a couple weddings this weekend and stuff like this. And, that's just part of the lifestyle. And, it's irreplaceable to win one of these races and her not be there. But at the same point in time, a wedding's a pretty big thing in our life for one of our good friends. And she was sad. And she had a birthday party for one of my best friends who worked for me on the race car for years and years and years. And, I don't know. It puts it in perspective for all the hard work that we put into this deal that finally it paid off.
Well, Chris, congratulations. I look forward to shaking your hand in person at the Four Crown Nationals, and best of luck the rest of the year.
Well, I'll tell you what. Thank you for having me on, and I appreciate it. And like I said, all in all, we weren't the fastest car, and Robert was a great competitor that evening. We ended up winning the deal, and I couldn't be happier. Thank you very much.
All right, Chris Urish, your winner at DeCoin on Sunday. We're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we'll have our interviews from the Sprint Sundert event at Crystal Motor Speedway. You're listening to TJ Slideways Live.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat out foot on the floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oswegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunder Stocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OswegonSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Sideways Live here at RacesOnTheWeb.com. Great interview there, Chris Urish. He actually had to extend the break going into that interview. It was kind of funny. We just got to talking. I'm like, we'll just extend this a little bit. So someone got a little extra ad time out of that. But it'll be good to see him at the Four Crown. Saturday, we were out at Crystal Motors Speedway. That was our first visit to the racetrack since we went out to the Knoxville Nationals, and had a great time out there. And programs like Crystal are not usually my thing. The big six-in-one show is usually something I try to avoid. But let me tell you, Crystal on Saturday, I went to two sod shows at Crystal this year. The opening season show where Dustin Dagg got the flat tire and went from the back to the front. And this program last Saturday. Saturday's program, I was out of that, but the feature was done before 11 o'clock, which, you know, they jam-piled races. I mean, just, it's not like they were lacking of cars. The sprint car count was down a little bit with 18 cars, but they still had a C main for modifieds, and we were out of there before 11 o'clock. They ran the sprint feature before the fireworks, thank you very much, which actually has a funny story later on in this segment. But it was an incredible show. The racetrack was good. It was very racy. It was very quick and hot laps. It was very wet. The track stayed great all night. It was probably one of the most enjoyable nights I've ever had at that facility. And what's also interesting is you, the readers, seem to take to that place really well, too. We've did some metrics over the past week, and basically any side NRA show you want us to go to, and you really want us at the Crystal shows, and you've said that, so we went out there on Saturday, and it was a great time out there. Of course, kudos to everyone out there at Crystal. Great. They did such a tremendous job of running the program, and mentioned Car Count Down a little bit. A lot of people were blaming the Merit program that did get scheduled on top of that. Really, I think it was more to do with just attrition at the end of the year. Only a couple of cars, kind of three or four, that would have actually went to the show at Crystal. So it would have filled out the field. But, I mean, you look at it, and there's probably three or four drivers that would, I could probably name five that had mechanical issues, hauler issues, whatever, that would normally be there. It's just getting towards the end of the year, and it didn't necessarily surprise me the car count was down there. I was a little surprised we didn't see another Ohio car or two, especially with the rain down there and the weather looking good up here. I thought we might see a couple others, but Jared Horseman acquired a 410 for the weekend. He's going to be doing more of that next year. They wanted to go to Attica. That's a person that normally travel up here, but overall, a great show over there. Of course, we'll break down the program. We have some audio for you from the heat race runners. First of all, Ryan Grubaugh, who has struggled a bit at times this year, picked up the first heat race win there on Saturday night. They're struggling with that race car. It's a race car they acquired from someone at the beginning of the year, and they were on fire the first part of the season, and then ever since the crash at Merritt where the 3W car got wrecked, they've struggled with the 00 car, their own car, and but picking up the heat race went, unfortunately, in the feature ran into issues. But here's what Ryan had to say about his heat race victory. As we uncue the audio, let's try that one more time.
Ryan Grubaugh, tonight's first heat race winner. Ryan, track real fast tonight, and you were able to take advantage of it in the heat race.
Yeah, on the start there, I got a good run outside and got the lead, and I was just out in the front there with that open air. It helps out a lot. So,
now, with the track the way it is, do you think the moisture's going to stay, or do you think we're going to see it slick off with some of these other races we see going out on the track?
I think the bottom looks heavy right now, so I think the bottom will be in later on, and the middle will slick off, and I think there'll be maybe a little cushion around the top. So
you think you're going to be able to get maybe set up the car, because this place isn't always the easiest traverse on the bottom. You think you're going to be able to accomplish that?
Yeah, we're going to try. I'm thinking maybe we'll be running the bottom in one and two and stay high in three and four.
All righty, and of course you got the redraw coming up as well.
Yeah, hopefully we have a little better luck than last time.
All righty, Ryan Grubaugh, heat race winner.
And Ryan ended up sliding off the racetrack, having a mechanical issue. Unfortunately, that kept him from he was credited with 18th and last place finish on Saturday night. And I think if they can get that car rolling, they'll be fine. They just haven't found the sweet spot with it yet. Hopefully, they will here in the coming weeks. Now, second heat race won by Greg Dahlman, who's chasing Dustin Daggett in the points. And interesting enough, if Dahlman is one of the cars that loaded up at the first Plymouth show, when it appeared they might not get that in, loaded and left. Had he stayed, he'd probably be right behind Dustin Daggett, but he's still within contact. Won the second heat race last night, had a strong top five finish on Saturday night. And here's what Dahlman had to say about his heat race victory. As the
Heat 2 winner, Greg Dahlman, congratulations. Setting up for a good night here at Crystal. Talk about the heat race.
Yeah, we started on the pole. When you start out pole, it makes it pretty easy. Dustin started fifth, and, vice versa. If he started on the pole, I started fifth, it'd be one and two. We were going pretty good. Both of us got, we're rolling pretty good tonight, so it should be a pretty good A main.
Track's pretty wet tonight. Do you think it's going to widen out and slick off, or do you think it might hang around for a bit?
I think it's going to slick off up on top of one and two. It's already going, so. Three and four should stay pretty good. It'll be a dogfight down on one and two. Just get some traction coming off of two.
All righty. Greg Dahlman, your heat race winner.
And Dahlman, he is really having another great year. I mean, Greg's been solid. It was just him and his boy there on Saturday night helping as well. Some of his crew up the Merit. He has some crew members involved with the Paige Pollock deal and with John Dahl. And a lot of half the crew split up there. A couple of those guys couldn't make it. Just him and the boy. And they did a heck of a job on on Saturday. And this point rank championship is not over. There's still several racetracks and several of them that Dahlman is really good at coming up. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out the rest of the year. And then third heat race, our former co-host,
the God of Sod.
Yeah, that's right. Brett Mann was the winner of heat race number 3. And Brett always has something interesting to talk about. Here's what Brett said after the heat race win.
Brett Mann, heat race winner tonight, backing up his King of Michigan win with a heat race victory. But the lap traffic, man, made you work for it.
Yeah, lap traffic's a little tricky there, and I think it's going to be even trickier in the features. So, but it worked out. We got the win, and we'll see how the redraw goes here.
Fast racetrack tonight. What do you think you're going to see it do?
I mean, I think it's going to slow down a little bit, but I think it's going to be a lot better than what it normally is. And like I say, I think the bottom's going to kind of come in, and I think the top's still going to be pretty good. So you're going to have guys running all over the place.
Can you roll the bottom at this place?
If the top slows down, which it usually does, the bottom's pretty tacky. I think it's kind of going to come in, and you're going to see guys moving down there, and then the traffic's going to come into play when you're going to see guys going all over the place.
All righty, Brett Mann, heat race winner tonight.
And in the main, we did have some crazy lap traffic stuff happen. At one point, Mann actually ended up getting Dahlman and a lap car in the same dive. In the feature in turns 3 and 4, of course, Dustin Neggett drew the front row, pretty much cruised to the victory. But I'll tell you what, first few laps, Sean Dancer kept him honest. And I'll admit, Dancer's had kind of a rough go of it. Dancer's one of those guys that really wasn't timid right from the start. And I mean, he was on the button from the word go. And, if I added it up, I've probably seen him on the hook more than I've seen him actually finish in the times I've seen him in person. But something has clicked sometime mid-summer, it seems like. And we've seen Dancer getting quicker. He ran Daggett really, really clean and really hard for a couple of laps. At the beginning of the race, kept him within sight most of the feature. I mean, and he ended up with a solid top 3 finish. It was something that I think that whole race team really needed at that point. Dancer mentioned he went to Attica actually on Friday night to get some laps. We just went to this 360 and came back up, and we're starting to see his confidence build, and maybe he's just slowed down just a hair, but in a way he's gone faster. And here's what Sean had to evaluate his performance. Now, keep in mind, they fired the fireworks off after the sprint car show, so we're not in a war zone. This is actually just the fireworks in the background in Sean Dancer's trailer after his third place finish on Saturday night.
Sean Dancer, solid third place finish tonight. Let's talk through the feature. He had a nice side-by-side battle with Daggett there. Able to keep up with him, but towards the end of the race, fell back just a hair, but still coming out of here with the top 3 finish. Has to be something you can build your team on at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. I mean, we started off well, and like you said, me and Daggett went back and forth a little bit at the start. Daggett had a pretty good car. I mean, I don't think I would have gotten him. But our car was not too bad. It was tight through the corners and everything. But, I mean, this third place finish here at Crystal is great for us. And hopefully we can continue top 5s, top 3s the rest of the season.
And, you know, you ran second most of the way through. That late restart, you were there. But, unfortunately, you know, Daggett just took off a little bit better than you did, it looked like.
Yeah, I just spun the tires on the start, and I just pushed it a little too hard, getting in the corner, trying to catch him, and slid up, and that's when Brent got by me, and so it's just one of those things. You gotta, slower is faster sometimes, and I went a little bit too quick and slid up, and he got by me to finish third.
You've had some tough luck over the past couple of years, but, you know, like I said, tonight with a top 3 finish, is this your highest career finish so far, or do you have one higher than this?
No, third is probably... I finished third, I think, one other time, maybe a second. But it's great. I mean, this is my third year doing it. I mean, I got a lot to learn yet. I'm racing against guys that's been doing it for quite a few years. So it's a learning curve. You know, we learn, we move on, and hopefully get a win sometime this year.
All right, Sean Dancer, your third-place finisher tonight.
And Sean's a great sprint car supporter. I mean, he's just a hardworking, self-owned businessman who takes a lot of pride in everything he does. And he's a good guy we visit with at the track too often. He's a great addition to the sprint car scene, too. He's a good guy. Always make sure to look us up whenever he's at the racetrack. And it was really good to see him progress in that manner. And I think we're going to see the progression. I don't think that first win is too far away from Mr. Dancer, so keep your eyes on him. And, of course, the second-place finisher was once again the former co-host.
The God of Sod.
As he proclaimed himself one time, the only guy to have his own drop on this show, Brett Mann, finishing in second. Here's Brett's post-race interview after his second place finish.
Brett Mann, your second place finisher tonight. Nice run through the pack, a couple of nice moves to get up to second place tonight.
Yeah, the car was working really good, and we kind of ended up running the bottom quite a bit of the race, but we could run anywhere. But my brakes weren't real good tonight, and that kind of slowed me down through one and two a little bit. It was a little more critical there, but three and four, we were really good. I know we're better than anybody.
And I saw you at one point with Dahlman. You managed to get him in a lap car all in one swoop. How'd you set that up?
I just seen him. He didn't go all the way to the top. He kind of got a little indecisive in the center there, so I rolled around the top and then was able to kind of diamond down through him. And because Greg runs really good in the bottom, and I knew he was going to be a problem for me, so lucky enough the lap traffic worked out and he got around him, and that kind of got us rolling.
And then that last restart, you managed to get Dancer.
Yeah, I knew we were better than Dancer, and I was kind of hoping I didn't have to start behind him because I think we would have had a shot at Dustin, but we got around him, and like I say, I think we're as good as Dustin, just kind of needed a little bit more, but it was a good run for eight.
You guys seem to be rolling pretty good here at the end of the season. What have you guys hit on the past couple races that have got you guys rolling so good right now?
I've kind of got the car set up working pretty good. We're running it on halves and short tracks, kind of running it everywhere, and I got a little different tire deal I've been playing with that seems to be working pretty good here that I've been playing with for the last month, and kind of help getting the car off the corner and kind of really got us running top 2-3 every night.
You've got some big money shows coming up. Good time to be rolling good.
Yeah, this is the time of the year you want to be rolling good. Say we got Tri-City here in a couple weeks, and the Berlin show I'm really looking forward to, too. We'll have our good motor back, and maybe we can finish up the year with a big win.
Brett Mann, second place finisher tonight.
And once again, more correspondent TJ Buffenbarger, the fireworks going on there at Crystal Motor Speedway with the post-race celebrations there. But, man, that is their backup motor. They're actually getting the primary engine back this week. He won't be going to the Canadian Nationals, though. The car owner wants to go to Crystal. They're going to run the MTS show there, which you'll be able to see live right here on racesontheweb.com. And then he will be at Tri-City and Berlin. And that's, like I said, they're rolling good right now. And that's a motor that they've been running good with, but they think the primary engine runs a lot better. This one runs good, but they have to run it a lot harder, and they feel like, talking to the crew and Brett, that little extra that motor gives them, they feel like that's what they need to be able to pull off wins at Tri-City, especially at Berlin. If it gets heavy, they're going to need that extra horsepower. So that could be something to watch closing the sprints on dirt season. Of course, what can we say about the guy who won? Dustin Daggett, earlier this year, had a flat tire, came from the tail, won that sprints on dirt event, the opener at Crystal Motor Speedway. This time, didn't have to work quite as hard for it. Started on the front row, but Dancer and Mann and Dahlman, all those guys keeping them honest. And first night on a brand new car. This is the combination they will be taking to the Canadian Nationals. They're going to take next week off, and then they will be actually running the practice session Ash Weekend on Thursday. They normally don't do that, but they haven't been up there as much this year. They want to get some laps at Ash Weekend. And here's what Dustin Daggett said following another Crystal Motor Speedway victory.
I think we've met here before. Dustin Daggett, your feature winner at Crystal Motor Speedway, but man, you had to work for this one a little bit, even though you're off the front row. Had a good race with Dancer and then had to hold off the pack with a late race restart.
Yeah, Dancer ran me nice and clean there at the beginning. We were able to run side by side for a few laps there, and lap traffic got pretty thick there a few times, and don't have mirrors, I can't see who's behind me, so it just luckily it turned out the way it did, and I don't know where everybody else was behind me, but car was working good tonight, and pretty good night for the first night on the car.
All right, brand new car tonight. Were you not wanting that last late race restart, or did it really not matter?
Well, it allows the second place guy to catch back up if I had some lap cars in there, but it is what it is. You got to deal with it, and our car was hooked up really good around the bottom and had a lot of forward bite, and it was a good night.
And, of course, your car takes off better than just about everybody's in this deal. It's something I know you guys take a lot of pride into and work on quite a bit.
Yeah, we've got a different engine in for tonight, the last couple races, and and it's taken off really good. So it's running really good, and we're off to Canadian Nationals next. Hopefully it takes off as good there too.
I was just gonna say, is this your Canadian Nationals combination you're testing out tonight?
More than likely, yeah.
All right, Dustin Daggett, your feature winner tonight here at Crystal Motor Speedway.
And Dustin, you know, admittedly, they've had something like 4 or 5 flat tires this year. Just crazy luck the past couple of years. And the field's getting more competitive, too, in that series. They're not the runaways they used to be. I mean, the top 4 or 5 guys are not the ones being lapped anymore. They're actually keeping up there, and they're keeping them honest. And I think that will bode well for Daggett at the Nationals too, because sometimes maybe they haven't faced as tough a competition going into the Nationals, and when you go into the Canadian Nationals, when you get there, it's a heavy hitting show. I mean, you get the Wayne Johnsons. Steve Poirier is as good as any full-time driver in the country, and there's just all those guys you're going up against, and maybe having a little more competition in the back half of the field is going to benefit them and the other SOD drivers once they get there to Oshwegan in a couple of weeks. So, and man, I'm telling you, that Canadian Nationals right around the corner is looking to be a good one. Hopefully everything will be put together later this week to where you're going to be able to pick the draw order for the 2013 TJ Slideways Oshwegan Shootout. This is how it's going to work on our Facebook page. Sometime we're hoping to have all the images in. We're waiting for who our NRA representative is going to be. All the images are going to be placed into a photo gallery. It's the draw order is going to be determined by the amount of likes and shares of those images on our Facebook fan page. So go to tjslideways.com and click on the Facebook link, or just look up tjslideways.com on Facebook. And we're going to use that to determine the draw order, not the lineup order, but who gets to draw first for their starting position. So you, the race fans, through social media, are going to be able to determine that lineup on our Facebook page. And like I said, we're just ironing out a last couple details. We're not sure if Butch Schrader is going to be making up there, so we're trying to get the right representative in the NRA part of the program and confirm all of our 10 entries into that event, and that will be the kickoff event for the 2013 Canadian Sprint Car Nationals, which is traditionally the first event of the evening on Friday, and we're really excited to be a part of that deal. Of course, the Canadian Nationals, one of our favorite events every year, and something that we've, you know, really become a part of, and we're looking forward to supporting more throughout the years to come. So that's big news about the TJSlideways.com Oshwegan Shootout. The draw order later this week to be determined by you, the race fans, on our Facebook fan page. So that's going to wrap up this edition of TJ Slideways Live. Of course, I got to thank Zach Dom, the Dominator, joining us again. Chris Urish, look forward to seeing him at the Four Crown. But, man, what a deal to see him win that mile race. You can tell how excited he was. And then everyone we talked to over at Crystal Motors Speedway. Race season is winding down, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. Look at all the big races we have coming up to talk about. And I always like the end of the year. It's real exciting, and we're already looking at 2014. I was talking about it earlier. We're already looking at what races we're going to go see next year. So if you want us to go somewhere, let us know about it. Read about it, and hopefully we'll make it out to your racetrack. So on behalf of myself and everyone at TJSlideways.com, thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Slideways Live.